Welcome to the North Point Community Church podcast. We're so glad that you've chosen to be part of creating a Christ-centered, culture-changing community. For more information on North Point or any of our other ministries, you can visit our website at www.northpoint.ccpeople.com. We hope that you enjoyed this inspiring word from our pastor.
I'm excited to share the word, and so if you have your Bibles, I'm going to get right to it. If you'll turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Wasn't that incredible worship? You have an incredible worship team. So anointed, powerful. Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And it says this: "And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And awe came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. And day by day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved." I'm going to take the next few minutes just to talk to you on a message entitled this, "My Girl." My girl. Will you bow your heads with me? God, thank you so much for this Sunday morning. God, thank you for Thanksgiving, Lord. But every day we're so grateful for your love. God, it's so real to us. You've revealed yourself to us and your love, and it's changed everything about our life. God, I just pray that you'd speak to us today. Let us hear your word. Let it come alive to us. Let it renew our minds. Let it encourage us as we walk the journey ahead. We love you. We thank you. And everybody said, amen. Okay, so this is like an interactive message, okay? So I need your help. You didn't think I was going to get up here as Deonza Duran's daughter and not have you sing with me, did you? Okay, so we're going to do an oldie. Everybody, first of all, put your hands together with me. Yeah, keep the tempo, not too fast. Here we go. You know it. Now you have to come in. "I got sunshine on a cloudy day. When it's cold outside, I got the month of May. Well, I guess you say, what can make me feel this way, my girl? Talking about my girl, whoo, whoo." Okay, y'all did great. Mom, I got on the right tempo halfway through that. My girl. I've grown up being the baby girl in my family. I have four amazing brothers, and then I have an amazing brother, Lucas, who became a part of our family. And then I got a sixth brother named Philip Dees when he joined our family. And then I got a seventh, eighth, and ninth brother when I married Rich. I had nine brothers, you guys. The struggle is real at Christmas. I mean, there's only so many sweaters and shirts you can buy. Nine brothers. And I love all my brothers. And when I got married, the only person who had been married was Philip and Destiny. They were the only wedding that we had experienced within all the kids in our family, including on Rich's side of his family. So over the years, you know, as Rich's brothers have dated, like, I've met some amazing women who have become my sisters. And this past month, we celebrated the wedding of Taylor, Rich's youngest brother. And he's 24, and he married an amazing lady, and her name is Kristen. And way before I ever met Kristen, I heard about her. How many of you have long-distance relatives? You know what I'm talking about. You're on the phone, and you're talking about college, you're talking about what they're up to, and then the moment comes, because you heard the rumors, and you say, "Hey, tell me about your girl. Tell me about your girl. What is she like? What's her personality like? Where's she from? Where does her family live? What's her major? Tell me her whole story. Tell me about your girl." And you don't have to ask twice. When a guy is whipped, he's whipped. When he's in love, he's in love. Taylor said, man, my girl is amazing. She lights up every room she walks into. She's full of so much love and joy. Like, she'll make you laugh. She's got the greatest sense of humor. She's smart. She's beautiful. She's kind to people. She makes people feel a part of every circle that she's in. My girl is awesome. He's proud of his girl. How many of you know that Jesus has a girl? Jesus has a bride that he is desperately in love with. Jesus has his eyes on his girl, and his eyes are full of love as he looks at his girl. He will tell you all about the future that his girl has, the incredible future ahead of her, because Jesus is in love with his girl. And if you don't know who his girl is, it's his bride. It is the church of Jesus Christ. Amen? I mean, when we read the scriptures, we hear about his bride. In Revelations chapter 19, verse 7 through 9, it tells us about the future that awaits for this glorious wedding and the marriage supper of the Lamb, when Jesus will be reunited with his bride once and for all eternity. It says, let us rejoice and exult and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come. This is our future. This is our reality. And his bride has made herself ready. It was granted her to clothe herself with fine linen, bright and pure. For the fine linen is the righteous deeds of the saints. And the angel said to me, write this. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. There's a glorious celebration coming. Can you imagine that celebration? The marriage supper of the Lamb. Mom has told me my whole life that the Italians will be in charge of the menu that day. Praise God. But if you truly want to know the heart of Jesus Christ, you've got to know at his heart is a love for the church. That the church is his girl. It's got all his affection. It's got all every bit of his love and admiration. So I wonder today, if we were to ask Jesus, tell me about your girl. Tell me about the one that you love, that you believe in. Tell me about the one that you gave your life for. Tell me about your girl. What would Jesus say to us today that would teach us truly about who we are? You see, I believe if you were to ask Jesus, tell me about your girl, who is your girl? Jesus would say this. Number one, she is devoted. Everybody say devoted. We read in Acts chapter 2, and this is the early church. This is the early church. After Jesus Christ had left, the church is taking formation around the world, spreading the news of Jesus' life and his love. And it says that the early church, that is the church that you and I are still a part of, the same church, thousands of years later, that they were devoted to four things. They were devoted to fellowship. They were devoted to communion. They were devoted to the apostles' teaching, and they were devoted to prayer. How many of you know that in 2014, we are still devoted to the teaching of the word, to communion, to fellowship, and to prayer? Amen? But what does devotion mean? Well, you could open up your iPhone. You could look it up really quick because the definition is awesome and it's powerful. It means love, loyalty, or enthusiasm for a person or a thing. Love, loyalty, enthusiasm for a person or a thing. The early church was devoted. They had love for the church that they were building. They had loyalty to the church they were building. And they had enthusiasm for the church they were building. The word tells us how devoted they were. You see, they were devoted to their community. They weren't just settling into the four walls of their church and enjoying their family. No, their radical love, it reached every home in their community with stories of radical love that changed people's lives, that included them when they shouldn't have been included, that it made them a part of the family when they should have been shunned. This was the way they loved their community. Brought people in from the outside. They were devoted to their community. They were also devoted to their faith. They prayed radical prayers. Like, they really believed that people could be healed when they prayed for them. They really believed that their prayers, the words that they were speaking, were reaching heaven. That when they asked, that God really cared and that He would move on their behalf. They prayed with a faith that they believed that even the impossibilities of life could be made possible because of the God they served. They were devoted to their faith. They saw miracles take place on ordinary days, not just in healing crusades, but in their homes. And as they laid their hands on their children and as they cried out to God, they had a devoted faith. It's amazing when you read about the early church and their devotion. Understand this today. When the enemy wants to attack your life, he will always attack your love, your loyalty, and your enthusiasm for the house of God. Because he knows that if he can steal your devotion, he will steal your destiny. He knows that if he can steal your passion, he will steal your purpose. The enemy will always attack your love, your loyalty, and your enthusiasm. Not for the dreams in your heart, not for your family, but for the house of God. Because that's where the power lies. Because that is God's girl. We're called to be devoted. Now, how do we stay devoted? Really quick, I'm going to move really quick, but there are three quick things before we go on to the next thing that Jesus would say about his church. How do you stay devoted? How do you keep your love? How do you keep your loyalty? How do you keep your enthusiasm? Number one, be here. I mean, that is the first step. All the other steps are negated if you don't actually show up. The rest of the story is forfeited. Just be here. There's something powerful about showing up. Every Sunday, not once a month, not twice a month, but going, every time there's a gathering of believers, I'm going to be there because that's where I belong. There's power when I show up, amen? I heard a preacher say one time, can you imagine if you were that person who just had a really busy weekend? You had the kids, you had the shower, you had the party, you had this, you had that, you weren't feeling so great, and you missed the day of Pentecost. You know there were people who did. You know there were people who allowed their circumstances to make them miss what God wanted to do in their life. The first step is be here. Be here. There's something powerful about showing up. And oftentimes, if I'm honest with you today, because I've been there, I've been a college student and I've had crazy work schedules and all kinds of things. There's a lot of reasons why we're not here, right? We could list out reasons. It's not like we just don't want to go. Sometimes there are things that are very real. Often it's because of our circumstance, or it's because of a situation inside of our hearts that makes us back up and go, you know what? I'm just not in the place. I'm not in the right place to receive. I'm not worried. If this week I really messed up really bad. I don't belong. I'm never going to get this discipleship thing down. Man, I do good for 15 days reading my Bible, and then I miss all those days. I'm never going to get this down. They got it down. They've got it right, but I can't do it. And so we don't show up because we feel condemned, and we give up on our spiritual walk instead of running where our help comes from. I was helping a friend move not too long ago. It was actually just a couple weeks ago. And he is a bachelor, and he had so many shoes. That's just a random fact. But he had 300 pairs of tennis shoes still in the boxes. And Rich and I were helping him move, and I'm like, man, we're going to need another truck just for your shoes, not your bed, your couch, but just for your shoes. And it was taking the longest time. It took longer than I thought, but we were just trying to help him. So we were loading things. We started early in the morning. And then lunch came. And you know when you're like, I'm going to get this thing done. Like, I'm not quitting because I'm not coming back here tomorrow to help you. Like, I'm not going to eat. I'm going to keep going. So I kept going. I'm like moving everything, helping him, pushing it all into the different storage things that we had brought. And we go. And I'm just too busy until suddenly my body just crashes around 5 o'clock. We finally get done. And I feel like I hit a brick wall. You know what I'm talking about? No water, no food, been going crazy. And I looked at myself and I said, Dawn Cherie, this is so disappointing. You are 30 years old. You can't take care of your body. That's the most important thing. How can you not feed yourself? How can you not be disciplined enough to just go get 5 minutes of food? If you haven't gotten it right by the time you're 30 years old, this is the talk I was having with myself. If you haven't gotten it right by the time you're 30 years old, you're never going to get it right. So I just decided then and there that I was never going to eat again. Are you kidding me? I ran straight to the nearest fast food restaurant. I ordered a Frosty and fries and a Coke, every single thing, and I stuffed myself. Why? Because I was hungry. How stupid for me to say I will never eat again just because I didn't have the faithfulness that day to do what I knew was right. But that's what we look like. We get down on ourselves and we go, you know what? I don't belong. Instead, I'm just going to starve and our spiritual life dies. Is it any surprise? We belong here. Be here. Whatever your circumstance, whatever your situation. It brings me to the second thing. Be honest. Take the mask down when you come in this place. You don't have to be perfect. If your marriage is falling apart, be honest. Go to the people that can help you. Get counsel in this house. If you need prayer for your child, get prayer. Don't come in here and act like everything is okay while your world crumbles beneath your feet. This is a hospital. This is where you walk in and go, I've tried it on my own. Jesus, I need you, and I need this family. I'm not going to judge anybody else around me because I got my own problems, amen? We belong in the house of God, but you got to take the mask down. You got to be honest. I think about Hannah in the Bible. Here she is. She couldn't have babies. And she had been taunted. She'd been ridiculed. She'd been made fun of. Her heart was broken. But she didn't walk into the temple and act like everything was okay. She walked in and she knelt at the altar and she wept. She took down her mask. And it was because of her honesty that the miracle came to pass. Amen? You belong here. Be honest. But thirdly, real quick. You can be helpful. Be here. Be honest. Be helpful. You were born to be a living stone. It's not just a thing that I created. The Word of God says that you're a living stone, that your life literally is laid on top of all the other living stones of the church that have been faithful, that have been devoted with their love, loyalty, and their faithfulness and their enthusiasm throughout the generations. Your living stone of your life is laid on top of all the generations. You are called to build, not to sit back and enjoy the music, not to sit back and enjoy the beautiful decor that somebody built, not to sit back and just take the message in, but you were created to be helpful. I love what the Word of God says. It says this, Romans chapter 12, verse 9, love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted. Hey, there's that word again. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal. Never. But keep your spiritual fervor, serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Man, when I read that scripture, I'm reminded this isn't just to have a good year plan. This is be faithful for life plan. Amen? This is in the highs and in the lows, when life is good, when life is really bad, when life is slow, when life is really busy, I'm going to keep my passion for the house and never lack zeal. Amen? We're called to build, build, build. It's never like, oh, this is my building season. No, our life, every season, we are building the house. You don't have to have a title.
There are three different types of people in every church. Number one is the person who, they sit back and they consume. They're the consumer, just like if you went to Black Friday shopping and you're like, what do I need? I need those 5 great presents for my grandkids. I need that 1 perfect present for my husband. What do I need today? And you come to church, we've all been there before. And it's like we're pushing a shopping cart down the aisle of church. I need an inspirational message, feel better about life. I need some good friends. Okay, I'll join that connect group. I need that. I need prayer today, so I guess I'll take that. And we just stuff ourselves. All we do is consume, consume, consume. That was never your destiny. That was never your purpose. Second group of people in every church is the critic. And life is good for the critic for a while, right? They're happy. They're pleased. They're getting what they want. Everything is good. They're the silent sleeper. Until one day you awaken the monster. You do one thing that ticks them off. They realize that this church is not perfect. And they throw their hands up and say, I knew it all along. And they march out the door, the critic. I'll tell you what's wrong. I know. And then there's a third group of people. They contribute. They come and they offer their bodies as living sacrifices. They come and they say, this life is not my own. I don't need a title. God, I already got the best title in the world. I'm a son of God. I've been called a daughter of the King. God, I'm going to give my life to build what you love, your girl, your house. I'm going to lay my life down, and I'm going to build. What would it look like if we started to be devoted? If we started to be devoted to the house the way that God has called us to be. I believe there would be no limit to what this city would look like in 20, 30 years of faithfulness. Down the road, what God can do. Doesn't happen immediately. It's that lifetime of zeal, that lifetime of passion, every season being devoted to God's house. I was talking to my Grammy the night before Thanksgiving, and I was at Destiny's house because that's where we were staying, and I called her. I said, come on over. She said, well, baby, I'm going out to feed the homeless, and I'm going to go buy some blankets because it's cold. Some of them need some blankets, and she said, I'll see you tomorrow. That's a contributor. That's it in every season of life, in every season. I'm going to help. I'm going to build. I'm going to be faithful. Amen? So Jesus would say, I'll tell you about my girl. She's devoted. Secondly, she is the hope of the world. My girl is the hope of the world. Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all we ask or think, according to the power at work within us, to him be glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. Do you notice that it says in verse 21, to him be glory in the church. In the church. And in Christ Jesus throughout all generations. You see, there's a unique glory that is only found within the church. There's a unique glory, a unique anointing, a unique blessing, a unique supernatural glory. Yes, the glory of God is around the world. We know that. Fills the earth with his glory. But you can go stare at the ocean all you want and get inspired. You can go stare at the stars. They're magnificent. They're beautiful. But there is a specific glory ascribed to the church that you and I were called to be a part of. Amen? I mean, we read about it in John chapter 17 when Jesus is praying his last prayer before he is crucified. And his prayer is that we would be united. Why? Why? So that the world would see who Jesus really is. There's something supernatural. There is a glory that is released in the house when we realize we were called not just to be devoted to ourselves, but we were called to be devoted to the love and the message of Jesus Christ so that His light and His love could be the hope for every broken heart. Amen? You talk about lighting up a room. Have you ever met a girl who just lights up a room, a guy who just lights up the room? The Church of Jesus Christ lights up a room. The Church of Jesus Christ lights up the darkest situations. Doesn't matter what you're up against, whether it's broken families or whether it's poverty, whether it's disillusionment, whether it's depression, whatever it is, no matter how dark it is, our light was meant to go to that dark place and shine the light and love of Jesus. Amen? She's the hope of the world. Jesus really believes that. That's what He destined the church to be. That's what He destined you and I to be. If we're not in the middle of the mess, we're missing the mission. You'll never know if you actually have a light until you actually go in the dark. How do you know? You're called to take that light into the dark. To be there for the people that no other church will allow in. To be there for the people that nobody else even wants to hear their problems because they've heard it so many times that nobody should even pay attention to them anymore. Jesus still cares about them. And Jesus says, His church is the hope of the world. His church was destined to bring light into every single situation. You wonder, what is the hope of the world? Our community, our world is riddled with violence. I was on CNN.com this morning. It's crazy. The wars, the situations. What is the hope for the world? What do we have to offer? Is it a new government? Is it a new leader? Is it a new plan? Is it a new infrastructure? Because I only know one power in all the world that can take a heart full of hate and turn it to a heart full of love. Amen? I only know one power in all the world that can take the broken pieces of individuals' lives and mend them back together and make them whole. Amen? It's the hope of Jesus Christ. It's the hope of Jesus Christ. It's us or it's nothing. There's not a backup plan. Jesus didn't make a B plan. The church is it. You are it. Your life matters. And lastly, as we close, if you were to ask Jesus to tell you about His girl, He would say, she's devoted. She's the hope of the world. But lastly, He would say, she has all my attention. Jesus is only building His church. He's not looking for somebody to come in with a new plan that works better than what He established 2,000 years ago. He is still just as passionate. Doesn't matter what scandal, doesn't matter what disappointments. Jesus is building His church today like never before. He hasn't given up on it. He knows that the future is better than the past. And His girl, the Church of Jesus Christ, has all of His attention. He is romancing. He is leading. He is inspiring His bride in 2014. When you come into this house with all your unique gifts, you've been built so beautifully, so uniquely. Nobody else is like you. When you come in, we lay all of our differences aside and we use our differences to reach everyone, but yet we come together in the spirit of unity. And we reflect what is closest to God's heart. I mean, collaboration, we see that in the Trinity. We see unity. We see synergy. You were meant to be a part of this house, and you were meant, if Jesus Christ has all of His attention on the bride, if Jesus Christ's only loving, gazing stare is at the church, you'd say, no, it's at the lost. What do you think He wants to do with the lost? He wants to bring them into the church. He loves the church. But your gifts and your talents were meant to serve this house, to build the unshakable kingdom, to be a part of not just what's changing this city, but to be a part of what is impacting eternity. See, God's not looking for a new story. He's not looking for a new girl. He's looking for all of us to have our attention on the same thing that he has his attention on. The church is worthy of your love. The church is worthy of your effort. The church is worthy of your frustration. The church is worthy of your stress, of your tears, of your blood. The church is worthy because Jesus Christ gave it all. Amen? The church is worthy in every season, having all your attention. One of the greatest privileges in life is when Jesus calls your name. You know when that moment happened for you. We're closing right now. But when Jesus calls your name, he says, hey, John, hey, Sarah, hey, Amber, I made you. I formed you. Created everything about your personality, all your giftings, all your strengths, the unique things about you for this moment in history so that you could build what I love the most. Will you come over here and build my thing? I know you're building your thing over here, and it might be good for 20 or 30 years, but I'm talking about something that I'm inviting you to be a part of that has eternal value. I'm inviting you to use your life. I won't force you. I've invited you to give your love, your loyalty, and your enthusiasm being a part of what you were literally created to build. How do you brush that invitation off? How do you push that heavenly invite aside? Don't be that girl. Don't be that guy. God has called you and he's purposed you. I was on a cruise this summer with our friends. We went with four couples, and we were on the biggest ship that's ever been built for a cruise line. And it's real easy to cruise in Miami because you get on the boat, and it's just, like, super quick. And because you don't have to fly to Miami, the port's right there. After church, you have your suitcase in the back. You just drive, and it's amazing. You're on vacation 10 minutes later. One of the nights we went to dinner, and there's 7,000 people on this boat. It's massive. We're on the back of the boat, and it was midnight, and we went out, and we were just standing there, and we just had a great dinner, and the jets were blowing. It was crazy, and I was overwhelmed all of a sudden because this ship seemed like a tiny boat in comparison to the ocean. You know what I'm talking about? Just like, this is huge. God, you are so huge. And I was joking. It wasn't even funny, but I just said it. What if I fell over? That's like a really positive conversation to have at midnight. And everybody was like, well, what would you do? I mean, within a matter of seconds, we would be miles, literally, because it was just making time. It was crazy. It's the biggest boat. And the waves were as high as the ceiling. It was a crazy night, just pitch black. And Rich, without hesitation, said, I would dive in after you. And everybody else was like, oh, like he won major appointments with me. Because none of the other guys said that. And I said, you would dive in after me? He goes, Don Shuri, you are the worst swimmer ever. He's like, you would never make it, first of all. He was like, I don't know if I could make it, but I would dive in there to try to save you, and hopefully I could bring you back. He was like, because I know you'd never make it on your own. Like, thanks for believing in me. My upper body strength isn't that great. But it made me think, here I was in this darkness. I knew I could never make it back home. That's exactly what Jesus did for us. He went out into the darkness for you. He went out into the darkness. He left heaven and went into the darkness to bring us back, to save us, because he knew we could never make it on our own. He knew we'd never be perfect enough, that we'd mess things up, that we would make mistakes. He knew we'd never have the strength to make it back. It was impossible. So he gave his life for you and I. But isn't it amazing that he didn't just pick us up and brush us off and say, okay, I saved you. Now sit over on that deserted island by yourself. You're breathing. You should be happy. Just sit. But he literally saved us, picked us up, and placed us in a family. He placed us with people who would encourage us, who would walk with us. He loved us so much that he didn't just save us, but he secured our future. He placed us in a family where we know whatever we go through, we belong. May we never take it for granted. May we never take the body of Christ, the family of God, God's girl, lightly, that we get to be a part of the hope of the world, that we get to give all of our love, loyalty, enthusiasm that God first gave us back to him every day to build our city. We have the opportunity. If we're devoted, the best is yet to come. Amen. Will you bow your heads all over this place with me?